roll with rock and roll.
You mentioned Whitesnake, and you know, David Coverdale's talked about, I mean, he went through kind of a bit of a health thing recently, and had to delay a tour. He's basically talked about, like, he's going to get out there whenever he can, but, you know, he's really looking to hang it up at this point. Like, he's doing like a final go round, basically, is what he told us a few months back. I mean, what are your thoughts on just, you know, the legacy of Whitesnake? You're a huge part of that, obviously. And David, you know, kind of, you know, sensing it's time to say farewell once he's able to health-wise to get out there and play some final shows.
Yeah, it's you know, I was already a Whitesnake fan for years when I finally joined. So it is a pity, you know, I mean, David has got such a unique voice, and his vocal approach is so unique that I find it a pity, you know, that he can't really carry on. I'm sure he finds it a bigger pity than all of us do, because when you're a born musician like David is, you know, it's gotta be hard, you know, to get to a point where you go, well, I can't do this anymore. You know, it's like for everybody, whether you're a sportsman or a musician or an artist or whatever, you know, if the thing that you've always done in your life out of your passion, out of your heart, when you get to the point where you can't do it anymore, that's gotta be really rough, you know? So, yeah, I really hope you will find a way to at least do like a proper goodbye tour or something, you know, because as we know, the last tour, you know, had to be cut short because of a health problem or whatever it was. I didn't really ask him. We are still in touch, you know, regularly. I didn't ask him, so I'm sure it must have been a serious reason, because David is he's like born to be on stage, you know, so it must have been serious.
The ailments and stuff really hurt you guys on this tour that you were going to be on last year. Yeah. It was heartbreaking for us. I mean, Reb and Tommy, both, yeah. And you with your voice.
Yeah.
Does it seem like it's not going to happen, or are you determined to get out there one last time and do this right?
It's not really a professional decision. Right. It's literally a health decision. Mm. Last year, it took me 7 months to get rid of a sinus infection that went so deep into my body, you know, and then we discovered a secondary one, which is why I had to cancel the US tour. So all of the appalling antibiotics I'd had for 3 months and all the damage it did to my system, you know, was a waste of time, because this other infection was canceling it out. So I had to go on to heavier medications and steroids and at the same time ignoring a torn rotator cuff, which I can work with. One of my assistants is schooled in KT tape and all this kind of stuff, because all my injuries have always been sporting. That's bizarre, apart from infections.
Yeah. Really the same.
So when I was on stage with Stevie Vai at Hellfest, you know, which has turned out to be the last Whitesnake show, hopefully not the last Whitesnake show. But I was underneath my shirt, my shoulder was taped up like I was going into the arena to face another gladiator, you know. Oh, it was, and you couldn't really tell. And thank God I could still fling the mic stand around, you know. But as soon as I got signed off back in January, the infection had gone. I realized then we had to sort out the shoulder, because that had been of secondary importance to me, minor compared to this, am I ever going to be able to sing again? You know, that's a big deal. Something you wake up and almost take for granted. But yeah, so I'm getting a lot of approaches, Vegas residencies. I'm not quite sure about that. I feel I owe Japan. I feel I owe the US. I feel I owe South America, because I've been pretty successful for 50 years.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you can't buy that. It's people have supported you to be in this position. So it was a personal choice. I didn't want to do a video going, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, brothers and sisters of the snake, thank you for 50 years, you know, I'm done. You know, I wanted to be there. I mean, these shows, David, were so emotional.
Yeah.
Newcastle, I started to sing Is This Love and completely lost it. And the audience, everyone, 12,000 wow. people or something, just took over singing the song wow. For me. It was just remarkably emotional. But, you know, I wanted to retire in 2020. I thought the appropriate age for the singer of Whitesnake to step down was 69. But, of course, that beast, bloody COVID came in, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so the stuff there, I don't want to say, you remember Sean Connery when he was asked all the time, you know, will you ever be James Bond again? And he said, never say never. We have 3 to 5 years of projects here at my studio. So I've certainly not finished with music, but my health will dictate right. whether I can take on, because it's incredibly physically demanding for me.
I know you were originally approached to join Whitesnake in the early 80s, but it was around the 87 album, right? How crazy of a time was that? I mean, did you guys meet on the video sets, I think, is that what I read? And then you guys just barnstormed the country, the world, really, on that huge tour. I mean, talk about how crazy that was.
Yeah, that's crazy. David approached me already in 1982, Vandenberg just had a hit single with Burning Heart, so I couldn't do it. You know, we stayed in touch once or twice. After that, he asked me if I was able to join then. I couldn't, but at the end of 86, I finally decided the time was right. So the album, the 87 album, was almost finished, apart from guitar parts and a solo that I played on Here I Go Again, which is one of my personal highlights, of course, because it changed my life.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, you know, the record took off ridiculously huge. I mean, who could have known, you know? It's and the tour was crazy. You know, you end up selling out arenas and stadiums worldwide for a year and a half in a row every night, you know? And to me, it never got old, because every morning when I got up, I thought, holy shit, you know, I've got to pinch my own arm to realize I'm actually experiencing this, you know?
Yeah.
And those are memories that nobody's ever going to take away from me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Was it strange? I mean, because I know you were following John Sykes a bit, like, on that record. I mean, was it strange at first kind of grasping the material? Because you weren't, I mean, you had the, so I know you played on the solo, but like for some of the other stuff, or did it kind of, did you get into it right away?
You mean in playing the songs on 87 album?
Yes, yeah, yeah, and playing the 87, yeah.
Yeah, we were with Rudy Sarzo, Tommy Aldridge, and Vivian Campbell. We started rehearsing, and we rehearsed for about a week, because initially we started out supporting Motley Crue, so we only had to play 50 minutes. Out fire and all on all six and really kick some ass in 50 minutes, and it worked. But the thing was that the record took off so quickly. Here Go Again became number one in a matter of weeks. So we had to rehearse during sound checks to add some songs to the set, because we started headlining really soon after that, and we didn't even were prepared for that, you know. So
yeah,
we jammed a lot, and we slowly but surely added a couple of songs, so we would have a full-blown set to a headline set.
Wow. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, this is Joel Linter.
Hi, everybody. This is Rob Halford.
The Rudy Sargent.
Hey, this is Steve Hackett.
Hey, folks, this is Rick Emmett of Triumph.
And we're talking rock with Dave and Shane. Yeah.